In the fifth reading of Parshas Kisetse, once again we have these little collections of mitzvahs, little segments. In your chumash you see the little samachs, because every time it's a samach, that's what's called a different parsha. That's the literal meaning of the term parsha. What we call parsha, Shavua, is really called a seder. At any rate, the reason it's like this in Parshas Kisetse is because we have so many mitzvahs, 74 mitzvahs in total. We have these little segments, like little kind of compartments. Mitzvah, mitzvah, two mitzvahs. So there's three mitzvahs that are packed together. So we're going to learn about marriage today. Marriage, of course, comes along with divorce. All of that's called matrimony, laws of matrimony. And in some ways, divorce helps marriage, because if there's no option to get out of the marriage, and you don't have to put anything into it, you take it for granted. And that's the worst thing. The fact that we have this concept of divorce and it's attached to marriage, it signifies that marriage is something that has to be worked on. And marriage is something that has to be valued. It can never be taken for granted. Anyway, we're going to learn a little bit about Jewish marriage today. You may be surprised to find out that many, many of the details are but alluded to, not spoken of in detail, as you'll see. So, we are going to begin chapter 24 today. Learn the first couple of verses from chapter 24, Perek Chav Dalet, Pasuk Aleph. The first verse says, Ki yikach ish isha. When a man takes a woman, uva'ala, and he's intimate with her, v'hoya, and it should happen, im lo yisim tzachein be'inav, if she does not find favor in his eyes, ki matza ba'ervas davar, for he finds something of licentiousness, v'chasav lo, sefer krisos. So then he would write her a document of division, of separation. V'nosan biyado, he would place it in her hand. V'shil chomi beser, and he sends her from his house. So that's a very compact verse. There's many, many, many halachas, many a wide range of halachas that are put into it. Let's try to learn this verse a little more carefully. Before we begin to learn the verse, though, I want to take a moment to talk about the connection of the last set of mitzvahs to the present set of mitzvahs that's being talked about. You'll remember that everything has these little segments, right? These little compartments of mitzvahs. So the Mefarshim talk about, why does one follow the other? What's the connection between Ki Yikach Ish Isha and the last set of mitzvahs, which we're talking about a person's field and a person's harvest, people who come to harvest? That's the last thing we're talking about. So the Baal HaTurim says that marriage is much like the field, because the purpose of marriage is not romance. The purpose of marriage is to build a family. And he says, just like the purpose of a sada, not real estate, but a sada, a field. A field meaning is a place of farming, is to get produce, is to be able to have a yield. So it is also with marriage. The point of marriage is to create a yield. What is the yield? The yield is children. And then yield brings another yield. The children bring grandchildren, and so on and so forth. The Sepharno says that in the previous set of mitzvahs, we were warned about integrity and about avoiding behavior which will necessarily cause the Shechina, the Divine Presence, to depart from the Jewish people. Aha, says the Sepharno. And now we're going to talk about the thing that brings the Shechina to the Jewish people. What brings Shechina to the people of Israel? The answer is holy matrimony. And this is radically different than the way matrimony is viewed in many other faith systems, where it's something of a kind of a compromise with evil. It's not really a good thing. Ideally, one should avoid this altogether. There's no choice. Okay, fine. So then call it holy. Holy means to curb it in some way. But on the contrary, from a Torah perspective, marriage is the holiest thing. And there is no mitzvah that there are so many brachas recited over like at a chuppah, like at a marriage. And the Sepharno says that's the point there. This is the way that we are able to create the Shechina. So let's take a look at Rashi now and try to understand the verse itself. Ki yikach ish isha, Rashi does not comment. It's not his job here to explain to you the detailed halachas of how it is that ki yikach ish isha. Rashi doesn't comment. However that is, that you've been to a Jewish marriage, whatever it was, okay, fine. He says, that's what's going on here. We will talk about this soon, actually, but Rashi doesn't. It says, the first thing that bothers Rashi is, Ki matza ba ervas davar, because he found something of licentiousness. Kika chishisha, however marriage is, yes. Uvala, he doesn't have to give you details. Whatever, they're intimate. Vayim loisim tzachem be'inav, they don't get along. Unfortunately, that doesn't require elucidation. Stuff happens. The world's not a perfect place. But kimatza ba'ervas davar, that has to be explained. What exactly did he find? What does it mean, ervas davar? Because that is very vague. It's very vague. Licentious. What's licentious? So Rashi says, and really, I think part of the question that Rashi is addressing is, why does the Torah have to give us a reason for divorce? What's the difference? If people are in a fight, and if people don't find Ervas Davar, then they have to stay in the marriage?
What if they're just not compatible? They disagree.
Right. What if they're just not compatible? So you cannot tell a person they're not compatible is a mistake. I don't know what we were thinking. And you have to be together, unless you find Ervas Davar. Is that the case?
No.
I mean, that's what sounds like from the pasuk. Yeah. So therefore, Rashi says that in this case of matzah ve'ervas davar, it would be mitzvah alav legarsha. It would be a mitzvah for him to divorce her. Shalaytim tzachem be'enav. That shouldn't find favor in his eyes. In other words, the Torah is not saying to you, matter of factly, v'hayim loisim tzachem be'enav. You really have to understand this verse, that the one thing that's not okay, the one thing that you cannot look the other way, is licentiousness.
You can't forgive that or do tshuva?
Well, do tshuva means that there is a change of attitude and behavior. Right? We're talking here when it's not tshuva. So in the Western world today, we view adultery as a very bad thing. It's a terrible thing, adultery. So it's very fair. Why is it terrible? Because you have violated somebody's trust. Marriage is about trust. It's about commitment. And you violate a commitment to trust. You violate commitment, you violate trust. This is a cardinal sin. And what happens if it's an open marriage? So from the Western perspective, consenting adults, as long as everything was above board, there's no issue over here. And this is profoundly wrong from a Jewish perspective, profoundly wrong, because the issue of adultery is not about trust. Committing adultery or committing a sin of this kind of inappropriateness, it's not like, you know, you promise somebody you do something and you didn't follow through, which also you're supposed to do. You're supposed to keep your word. Or a person trusted you and you violated that trust. No, this is, it's like a whole different level. If matrimony brings the Shekhinah to Israel, then you have to understand that a violation or abrogation of matrimony takes the Shekhinah away from Israel. So what's the pshat? Ervas davar. Ervas davar means that the marriage itself is a bond between a man and woman and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's about Almighty God. That's what marriage is. So when you violate the bond with Hashem, we're in big trouble. So that's Matzah Be'ervas Davar. You find that this is kind of stuff is going on. It's not okay. You cannot forgive it. So I'll overlook it. It doesn't bother me. As long as you're mine 5 days a week, you know, you can have the weekend. That's not Rashi. In that case, God forbid, there wouldn't be no choice. It would have to be a divorce. So that's the way Rashi explains the notion of Vahoya and Loisim Tzachem Be'enov. So that's why the Torah goes into the details and talks about V'chasav La Sefer Krisos. Now, V'chasav La, let's talk for a moment about the get. Now we're going to go back to the marriage. V'chasav La, the Gemara in Gittin and Dav Chav says, Kasav V'lechokak, that has to be writing. It cannot be engraving. So even though engraving is a form of writing, if somebody were to engrave a get, that would not be a kosher get. It has to be written. It has to be a form of writing. And only then is it kosher. And what does it mean, v'chasav la? You cannot have generic gittin. And then you just fill in the names, which we do for the ketubah, the marriage contract, which does not create the marriage, as we'll soon explain. So when we talk about this idea of a get, the get has to be written lishma, and that's why a get takes time. What happens is the man and woman show up in the bezdin, and the husband essentially has to hire the sofer to write the get. And he has to know he's writing it because this fellow said, for that woman. And if it's not lishma, it's not for her sake, and it's not because he said to divorce her, it wouldn't be a kosher get. In fact, if a person wrote a get, and it happens to be the same name, it's the same name, it's Avraham married to Sarah. Oh, perfect, we'll just use that get. That doesn't work. If there was a woman who was married to a second Avraham, married to Avraham once, then she married to a second Avraham, and she's getting divorced again, and they happen to have a blank left over from the first divorce. You can say, okay, we'll use the, it was written for you. No. V'chas of law means in this specific situation. A sefer krisos, the Gemara on the next page tells us, Sefer Kursa, it is a document that severs the marriage. Vein Dover Acher Kursa, there's nothing else that can sever the marriage. And divorce is a very, very serious thing. And if it's not done halachically, it's not done properly, it's not a get. And the marriage is still there. And a person could be separated from a spouse for 50 years and won't have nothing to do with them and hate their guts and get have a legal divorce. And if they don't have a proper halacha get, al pi halacha, they are still married. The husband and the wife. No, they can't take that away. The only thing that can take it away is a sefer krisos. And the sefer krisos has to be absolute, which means, says the Gemara, a davar hakoires beino beino. It has to totally sever any connection. So if the get says, you're free to get married, but we would like to maintain some kind of connection. If the get says that, it's not a kosher get. The get has to be an absolute thing, 100%. And as the Beinu Bechaya says, it has to sever the bonds of marriage so that there should be absolutely no common value, no common connection afterward whatsoever. Obviously, they may share children. Obviously, they may share, there are issues in life, and those things will naturally perhaps connect them, and they'll have to continue to deal with these issues until the end of time, but that may be. But halachically, there is absolutely no connection whatsoever.
No better laundry.
Huh?
No better laundry.
Forget better laundry. Nothing. Nothing. The woman that you were married to is a strange woman. No connection whatsoever. So we had a situation in the community once where a woman got divorced, and the husband came to me, he said, she wants me to do this for her and that for her. I said, listen to you halachically, there is no more connection with her. There's no more connection. You want to be nice, you're nice to anybody. Yes, you do share children. But there's no halachic connection whatsoever. So I don't think exactly he conveyed the message in that way. And she was very angry at me, and how dare I say there's no connection. So what do you want from me? I'm just telling you what the Torah says. I don't know how you heard that, I don't know what it meant to you, but I'm telling you what the Torah says. The Torah says divorce is absolute, finished. There's no connection anymore. And therefore, Rabbeinu Bechaya says, sometimes a get can be given al tanai, can be given on condition. If the condition is written into the get, it's not a kosher get. You can make conditions verbally. You can make it in another document, says Rabbeinu Bechaya, but in that get itself, absolutely nothing. So what does the get look like? Rabbeinu Miucha says that it has to be the telling of the narrative, a very clear narrative. The clear narrative has to state, I, so-and-so, divorce so-and-so, and she is permitted to marry whomever she wants, and I have absolutely no connection whatsoever anymore. Finished. Full stop, full connection. That's the concept of a Torah get. The Torah goes on to tell us afterwards, v'yotzo mibesa, once the marriage is over, she leaves the home of the first husband, which has nothing to do with who owns the home. That's not what this is about. Home means a jurisdiction. The home is a euphemism and a metaphor, much like the chuppah is in today's day and age. V'holcha v'hoysa l'ishachem. She goes and she gets married to somebody else. What happens? Sneya ishachem. If the second fellow who married her doesn't like her either, ooh, surprise, surprise. What do you do then? Because of the Sefer Krisos. And he's got to write a bill of divorce too. V'nasam v'yodi, places it in her hands. V'shilcha v'beisa, he sends her away from the house. Oy, or the other thing that can sever marriages, ki yomasa ishachem, the second one dies. What happens under those circumstances? The Torah says, the first husband is sent away, cannot then say, you know what? She wasn't so bad after all. I'm kind of lonely. I'm going to go back to my first wife. He says, I hear you're free again. I hear you got divorced again. Well, you're widowed. Let's get it together. The Torah says, sorry, no such thing. You're not allowed to go back. After she got married, after she was, the Torah uses this term loosely, literally defiled, but the point is that she went elsewhere, she was involved in another marriage, then that's it. You never repair the first relationship. You can't bring back the first marriage. So Eva, that's abominable before Hashem. You shouldn't cause the land to sin. Which the Lord God gives you as a nachala, the Lord God gives you as an inheritance. Okay, so the Torah uses very exact language. The Torah says that v'nosan that v'holcha v'hoisel ishacha, that has to be a havia. V'hoisel ishacha means that there had to be actual marriage, had to be actual some kind of legal bond, some kind of Torah bond. But if it was just a situation of she did what she shouldn't do because, you know, people do stuff. That does not defile. So if people were married and then they got divorced and then they went their own ways and then they later came back, in that case, the marriage could be restored. All right, so you got a little bit. We talked so far more about divorce than we talked about marriage. Now let's talk about the details of marriage. In Pshuto Shel Mikra, on a literal level, Rashi doesn't go into that. However, here we're going to go to our Biurim book on page Lamed Dalet. We're going to begin with a quote from the Sifri. So the Sifri says that in this little verse, we have all the details of marriage alluded to. And the Sifri interprets the pasuk as follows. Ki yikach ish isha. When a man marries a woman, it says ki yikach. Melame, says the Sifri, this teaches us shahoisha niknis bekesef, that marriage can be established through exchange of currency or something of value. So that's the terminology of yikach. Yikach means transaction. Yikach means business. And therefore, ki yikach ish isha means that there is a transaction of sorts. Like a kenyan. Like a kenyan. Like an acquisition. So there's a transaction of sorts. And if one wants to, one can talk about marriage in a legal text, in a legal frame. Talk about it as a transaction. Sounds very crass. And we talk about marriage as holy. We talk about marriage as nice and beautiful. It's okay, fine. But everything has a legal side to it. So the legal side is that there's an exchange of consideration, exchange of currency or of value. That's the meaning of ki yikach. Ki yikach in the Torah means taking. Taking doesn't mean stealing. Ki yikach means when somebody lawfully acquires. So that's the first thing. And then it says, uvala, he's intimate with her. So why does the Torah tell us that? What's the difference? It's not our business what he does. No, says the Medrash Halacha of Torah Shebichsav, that uvala means melameh shah isha niknis bebi'ila, that marriage could actually be affected by intimacy.
Consensual.
And obviously has to be something which the Torah allows for it. And there has to be witnesses that see them being cloistered alone. Not chas v'shalom that see intimacy, but see them being cloistered alone. There has to be witnesses. So there would have to be, it would have to be stated that this present situation of intimacy is being conducted for the purpose of marriage. The Chachamim forbade this because it's not modest. But that is a possibility. That could be one. If somebody's in a terrible situation and there's no money available, there's no consideration, that could be an effective method of creating a marriage, a bond of marriage. That does not mean that every intimacy creates a marriage. It has to be just like every time you give something of value to a woman doesn't mean you married her. So if you're buying something in the store and you give something to the woman to buy something, doesn't mean you married her. And if you see a poor woman and you give her money, doesn't mean you married her. It has to be something, the exchange has to be done for the purpose of marriage. That has to be the intention. So too, the uvala has to be done for the purpose of marriage. Now it says, v'yotza mi beisa, she goes out of his house. Pasuk beis said, v'holcha v'hoisa li shacha, she leaves one marriage and she enters another. Says the Sifri, makesh ha-v'yotza shal zeh, li'tziyotza shal zeh. From the fact that it says, v'yotza mi beisa, she went out of his home, we juxtapose and create a corollary between leaving a marriage and entering into a marriage. What's the corollary? You couldn't find greater opposites of marriage and divorce. Says the Sifri, ma yitziyasa mizeh bishtar, just as this one left, exited the marriage, via ashtar, a document, af haviyasa mizeh bishtar, so too, that in the next marriage that would follow the first one that was dissolved would also be affected by means of a document. In other words, the document, just like a document is the way that a divorce is affected, and that is the only way, there is no other way for a divorce to be affected, so too the marriage is affected also with the concept of a document, which is not to be confused with the ketubah. The ketubah is a document that outlines a woman's rights. And according to many rishonim, that's min ha-Torah. I was at a wedding recently, and the person who was making the comments under the chuppah says that the ketubah is 23 centuries old. So I went over to him after. I said, do you ever read a ketubah? He said, yeah. I said, so what does it say in the ketubah when it says, the chazi lichi, midiraisa, the money that's coming to you min ha-Torah. What does that mean? Midiraisa. Midiraisa means biblically. He said, I don't know. I said, think about it. What does it mean? The chazi lichi midiraisa. It's min ha-Torah. I said, how old is the Torah? When was the Torah given? He says 33 centuries ago. So I said, why did you say 23 centuries?
What's a millennium?
Yeah, what's a millennium?
Splitting hairs.
He says, I don't know why I said that. I said, well, because you're reading from a paper. But whoever wrote the paper is wrong. You should go back and tell the people who wrote the paper that's not correct. Now, there is a ketubah for a non-besula marriage, which means a second kind of marriage. Then the taka only be say chazin lichim ederabanan. And now, mind you, there is a big machlekes of the shenim. But we follow the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam that for a first-time marriage, it's called the marriage of a besula, that it is chazin lichim ederaisa. It's a biblical thing. But that doesn't create marriage. It means biblically you're obligated to have the rights of a woman enshrined in a document, long before there was something called feminine rights. And in many parts of the world, women still have no rights. And who knows if they'll ever have rights in those parts of the world, or within those anthropologies or civilizations or faith systems. But in Torah, from the time the Torah was given, 33 centuries ago, women had no rights whatsoever in any civilization in those days. And the Torah protects a woman. A man can't just leave a marriage. He can't not take care of his wife. There's documentation. But that's not the documentation that creates the marriage. Oftentimes, coming to a couple that's secular, they don't know. They say, okay, so when the ketubah is signed, am I married? No. No. So what am I? Is it obligated? That's what the ketubah does. It obligates. So that's what the Sifri says. So the Rebbe's comment here is that Medivrei HaSifri, from the words of the Sifri, Nimsa Shaloish Hadrachim Shebehem Nitan Lekadesh Isha, that there are three ways in which a man can marry a woman. Bekesef, the man has the active part of Kedushin, the woman has the silent part. Her silence is deafening when she accepts the ring, but the man has to actually affect the Kedushin. So it's Bekesef, with an exchange of value, Bishtar, with a document, Ubebiya, that's what the Mishnah says. Now the Rambam in the beginning says, Bibiya Ubishtar min HaTayra, Ubekesef min Rabbanan. And everybody goes crazy about the Rambam. And the explanation is that even though it doesn't say it openly in the Torah, that nonetheless it's learned from the method of exorcism which the sages give us. That's what the Rambam used the terminology. However, I want you to know that I did hear that Rabbi Herschel Schachter from Yeshiva University was in the Vatican like a decade ago, and they asked him, what do you want to see? He said, what do you want to see? He says, all of a sudden out of nowhere, I would like to see the oldest manuscript they have of the Rambam. And he took this manuscript, and he looked in the beginning of Hilchos Ishus, and over there it said, V'shloshton min HaTorah. All three are min HaTorah.
Really?
Yeah. Which means that the text we have may well be a mistake. And all the scholarship, all the ink that was poured in explaining why the Rambam wrote that the third is Midrabanan, is actually pashut a mistake. But in the Sifri, it's very clear. The Sifri says we learn from the Pasuk all three. Kesef, Shtar, and Bia. And it's all learned out of the Pesukim over here. So what's the first thing, the first kinyan, the first creation, the first methodology to create a marriage that the Torah alludes to? Hakinyan, harishon, haramos. The first thing is alluded to is the words ki yikach. That's the beginning of the Pasuk. That's how we introduce this parsha of marriage. Kinyan kesef. Now, interestingly, the Rashba and the Ritva, in their commentary on the Gemara, they say, why does the Mishnah say bekesef b'shtar u'bebiya? The Mishnah says that because the Pasuk says it. Because the Sifri says it. If the Torah chose to talk about that first, so that's why the Torah talks about it. That's why the Mishnah talks about it. The Rebbe said, ever wonder why it is that all Jewish marriages are affected by exchange of consideration? How come nobody does a document? There's anyway a documentation called the ketubah. How come anybody been to a wedding, we use a document? No. Man writes adet mekudeshously, he gives. Nobody. Everybody knows about the exchange of value. It's usually a ring, and the reason, there are many reasons, in a very literal way, is that a man actually places the jewelry on the woman's finger, he puts the ring on her finger, and then she clenches her fist. So that's an act of acquisition. So that's an actual, and jewelry belongs to her. So it's a given. Everybody wears rings. But the Rebbe says, it makes a lot of sense that the kinyan hanohog bepoil, that the factual reality would be money. Because as it says, as the Rambam himself writes in Hilchos Ishus in the third chapter, Nagu kol Yisrael, the custom amongst all Jewish people, and it makes no difference from Sephardim to Ashkenazim, from Falashas to Nordic Jews. Everybody does the same thing. Kol Yisrael zeminig lekadesh bekesef oy b'shav bekesef, with currency or something of value. Why? documentation seems so much more authentic. It seems so crass to affect a marriage through money. It's about money. It's supposed to be about love. What's up with the money? So the simple answer is Mishum Shezeo Kenyan Edition. That's the first method that the Torah alludes to. So if that's the first method the Torah alludes to, that must be the preferred method. But really, it is all about love. And that, but for this, we have to go from the exoteric approach to the esoteric approach. From the nigla, from the revealed area of halacha, we're now going to move across into the area of Jewish spirituality and mysticism. In Teiras Achsidis, it explains the three methodologies of getting married in the following manner. This idea is first documented in the Kesa Shem Tov, in the teachings of the Baal Shem Tov himself, and it is articulated and elaborated on in Lakuta Teira of the Alter Rebbe, as well as in the Biyuri HaZoyer of the Tzemach Tzedek, and the Rebbe's father in his glosses that were written during his exile also has a Shtikel Teira, a piece about this. So in Chassidus it talks about the three methodologies of marriage in spiritual terms. And that's because marriage is also a metaphor for our relationship with God. In many ways, in many, many, many places, and in many syntaxes, this is what we evoke when we speak of our relationship with God. So therefore, what's the three methods? So bekesef with money is indicative of ahava, indicative of love. Why is kesef love? Because kesef shares a common etymology with the word kisufin. Kisufin means yearning, great desire. You feel you're missing something. That's a sign of love. Absence makes love grow fonder. When something is not there, when you don't have it, you want it, you yearn for it. Like it says, "Bayankev Avinu, Father Jacob, Ki Nisich, Nichsafti, El Beis Avicha." Lovin says, "I know you yearn for your father's home." Why did he yearn for it? Go back to his parents? He loved his parents. It's a sign of love. So Kesef represents, in spiritual terminology, the idea of love. What's Bishtar? What's with documentation? The document, the book, that's Bemtsars Limud HaTorah. That comes through the learning of Torah. The Torah is Shtar Kosov. The Torah is written, like the famous teaching in the Zohar, that the word Anoichi is an acronym for Ano Nafshi K'tavit Yahavit. My soul has been written out. Hashem, so to speak, poured his essence into the Torah. The Torah is written out, as the Rebbe Rashab said before his passing, Ich gehe in Himmel, und the K'savim Lazachaych. He said, I'm going to heaven, I leave you my writings. That's what the embodiment of a tzaddik after, the Torah teachings. Tzaddikim derim l'beiran. So what tzaddikim do is a reflection of the way Hashem speaks to the Jewish people. So the concept of a shtar, the concept of documentation, alludes to Torah. Torah is a book. We have a sefer Torah, sefer Krisos, sefer Torah. There's a commonality between the Torah and between the documentation. What's bebia? What's the spiritual alter ego of intimacy? That's ayidei tefillah. That's through prayer. Because the word tefillah, organically, is connected to the word teufel, which means to sew together or to unite. And the concept of prayer, even in English, is called communion or oneness. So this idea of oneness, this idea of cerebral and emotional intimacy that the Yid has with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's achieved through prayer. Prayer is an emotional kind of thing, whereas the Torah study is a cerebral, intellectual thing. So is very interesting, if these are the three dimensions that we speak about how a Yid fosters and nurtures his matrimony with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's the first thing then? Kesef. What does that mean? Hiskashras ha'ikris hu b'emtsois ha'kesef. The main thing is, a Yid has to have Avas Hashem. The main thing is love.
Love is giving.
Kedivrei ha'Zohar, like the words of the Zohar, les pulchana k'pulchana d'rachamisa. There is no service like the service of love. When it's a labor of love, then it's not difficult. When it's something where there's no love, it's extremely laborious, and it's very intense, and it just doesn't work. And so, my dear friends, people like to say, I'm a Jew at heart. And the Beatles said, it's all about love. In some ways, they're right. In some ways, if the Yid has Avas Hashem, if there's love, the rest can fall into place. If there's no love, if your Avodas Hashem is one that's filled with a sense of fear, and trepidation. If one that feels a sense of duty and obligation, but there's no avas Hashem, there's no love for Hashem, then something very, very fundamental is missing. And the truth is like that in a marriage also. You talk and need love. With this love, there's a way. If there's no love, it's just duty and obligation. It's like it's dry, it doesn't work. And that is one of the messages or lessons we can learn from this pasuk. Prayer.